Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Managing Director, Charts and Data Operations at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Hello, Katie. How's it going?
Hey, Keith. Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm swell. We are back together in the same room.
Yay!
After, oh, golly, a number of weeks where we've been on Zoom together because we've been on different continents.
Yep. But
it's always so nice to be present with you.
Yay.
Lovely top, by the
fall
way.
Fall sweater. I'm going for an autumnal color scheme.
Autumn variations.
Right.
Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Taylor Swift continues to lead both the Billboard 200 Albums Chart and the Billboard Hot 100 Songs Chart, how Jungkook and the late Jimmy Buffett debut in the top 10 on the Billboard 200, and how the Beatles score their 35th top 10 on the Hot 100, and first in nearly 30 years, with their much-talked-about new single, Now and Then.
Also on the show, we're talking all about the nominations in the Big Four categories of the 2024 Grammy Awards, which were announced late last week. Plus, Dua Lipa officially launched her new era with the release of Houdini last week. What are we expecting from her next album, which is her first since the new disco smash Future Nostalgia? And the Billboard Music Awards are this weekend.
This weekend!
Who is the biggest finalist? Who's performing? We'll talk about all that and much more in just a second. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
All right, let's do the chart chat. First up, Taylor Swift is tops again on both the Billboard 200 Albums Chart and the Billboard Hot 100 Songs Chart, as her album 1989, Taylor's Version, holds atop the former for a second week, while her 2019 song Cruel Summer jumps back to the top on the latter. 1989 Taylor's Version earned 245,000 equivalent album units in its second week in the United States. That's down 85% compared to its humongous first week, according to Luminate. The re-recorded effort debuted at number one, of course, a week ago with 1.653 million units, marking the largest week for any album in nearly a decade since Adele's 25 launched with 3.482 million units earned in the week ending November 25th, 2015. Over on the Hot 100, Swift replaces herself again at number one as Cruel Summer jumps 6-1 for its third total week at number one. It bumps Swift's own Is It Over Now, Taylor's Version, from the vault, from number one down to number three. It is the Taylor Swift charts, basically, this week, or almost every week.
Or just 2023.
Yeah. Also on the Billboard 200, BTS's Jungkook sees his solo debut album, Golden, bow at number two, while its single, Standing Next to You, arrives at number five on the Hot 100. It's the third top 10 charting song from the album. Staying with the Billboard 200, the late Jimmy Buffett, who died on September 1st, collects his 14th. Top 10 charting album, as Equal Strain on All Parts enters at number six. It was the last studio album Buffett completed during his lifetime, and the set, which includes contributions from the likes of Emmylou Harris and Paul McCartney, also debuts at number one on Billboard's Top Rock and Alternative Albums chart and the Top Rock Albums chart.
There was also a really nice Jimmy Buffett tribute on the CMA Awards last week that included Kenny Chesney and Alan Jackson and Zac Brown Band. So it was really a beautiful tribute. They did Margaritaville. They did, A Pirate Looks at 40. Is that the name of the song?
Sure.
Yeah, let's call it that.
It's 5 O'Clock Somewhere?
They did not, actually.
That was the big hit with Alan Jackson.
But Alan and Zac Brown teamed up for Margaritaville.
All right.
And Zac had no shoes on, which was a nice little tribute.
I think Alan Jackson and Kenny Chesney are probably perfect artists.
I mean, and Zac Brown, too.
Well, yes.
They all kind of, well, I mean, obviously, Jimmy and Alan had the big collaboration together, and then Kenny and Zac have both kind of taken his tropical country vibe to, great success in the past 20, 30 years.
Isn't Kenny's I mean, No Shoes Nation.
No shirts, no shoes, no problem.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, lastly, back on the Hot 100, the Beatles are back in the top 10 for the first time since 1996 as the much-buzzed-about new single from the band, Now and Then, debuts at number 7. The track marks the 35th top 10 charting song for the Fab Four and the first since Free as a Bird peaked at number 6 in January of 1996. Now and Then, as we've discussed on the show before, is quite the feat of technology, bringing together a demo tape of John Lennon's vocals from the late 1970s with guitar parts from George Harrison in the mid-1990s, along with newly recorded music and vocals from the two surviving Beatles, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, recorded in 2022. Now and Then is included on the just-released reissue of the Beatles' compilation album, 1967 to 1970, often referred to as the Blue Album due to its distinctive album artwork. Its companion album, 1962 to 1966, was also reissued last Friday. It's known as the Red Album because of, again, its distinctive cover. Both compilations contained freshened mixes of the songs that are contained on them and are bolstered with additional songs from their respective eras. Those albums were originally released in 1973, and both could make re-entries on the Billboard 200 next week. In their original chart runs, the 1967 to 1970 album hit number 1 on the Billboard 200, while 1962 to 1966 peaked at number 3.
I will be very interested to see. I'm assuming the Blue Album will potentially be higher on the 200 because of Now and Then being attached to it.
Correct.
So it'll be interesting to see where they both end up. TBD. Yeah.
TBD.
Well, on Friday, the 2024 Grammy nominations were announced, and SZA leads the pack with 9 nominations, including Record and Song of the Year nods for her Hot 100 number one hit, Kill Bill, and an Album of the Year nod for her 10-week Billboard 200 chart topper, SOS. So next up were Phoebe Bridgers, Victoria Monet, and engineer/mixer Serban Ganea with 7 nominations. And 6 of Bridger's nods are with the indie trio Boy Genius. And then she also had a solo mention in Best Pop Duo/Group Performance for her SZA collab, Ghost in the Machine. Other 6-time nominees this year include Taylor Swift and her longtime producing partner Jack Antonoff, plus Olivia Rodrigo, Billie Eilish, Miley Cyrus, John Batiste, and Brandi Clark.
It's a very female-fueled Grammy nomination.
It absolutely is, especially in the Big Four, which Keith and I are going to take a closer look at now. Those are, of course, the Album, Record, and Song of the Year categories, plus Best New Artist. So I will get us started with Record of the Year. This one goes to the artist and to the producer, recording engineer, and or mixer and mastering engineers. Here we go. We've got John Batiste with Worship, Boy Genius with Not Strong Enough, Miley Cyrus with Flowers, Billie Eilish with her Barbie soundtrack song What Was I Made For, Victoria Monet's On My Mama, Olivia Rodrigo's Vampire, Taylor Swift's Antihero, and SZA's Kill Bill. So, yes, as Keith said, it is a ladies' year at the Grammys.
Yeah, I mean, if we're only looking at the artists who recorded the songs and not the sort of the producer,
the behind the scenes
tech people.
We literally only have John Batiste. Yes.
To me, 3 out of the 8 nominees, by the way, they reduced the number of nominees from 10 to 8 this year.
Back to 8, wasn't
back
it?
To, yeah. Yeah. Part of me wants them to just go back to 5 because this is just, it's, I don't know. 3 out of these 8 don't strike me as being incredibly well-known to a wide population. That would be John Batiste, the Boy Genius track, as well as Victoria Monet. The other ones are all like universally, I think.
Oh, pop mega hits.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like even if What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish wasn't like a humongous like, you know, pop hit.
Barbie was such a pop culture
Barbie
moment.
Was such a huge movie, and that song was in that movie, and everyone has seen Barbie, so everyone's already absorbed that song.
Correct.
Interesting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of pop shop favorites up in here, I'd say.
Yeah.
I would love you to do Album of the Year, please, Keith.
All right, so Album of the Year, the award goes to the artist and to the featured artist, songwriters of new material on the album, producers, recording engineers, mixers and mastering engineers credited with 20% or more playing time of the album.
Good luck to the people figuring all that out. And go, Keith.
Yeah. All right, so I'm just going to read the title and the artist.
Yes.
So we have World Music Radio by John Batiste, The Record by Boy Genius, Endless Summer Vacation by Miley Cyrus, Did You Know That There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard by Lana Del Rey. Also, I shouldn't read that as a question because she doesn't have a question mark in her...
not even a period after a period. Boulevard.
The Age of Pleasure by Janelle Monáe, Guts by Olivia Rodrigo, Midnights by Taylor Swift, and SOS by SZA. So a lot of overlap between record and album of the year, but not completely overlapping.
Yeah, and a lot of huge names, a lot of big hit albums here too. Midnight's, Guts, SOS, Endless Summer Vacation, yeah.
Though I will have to say, I will go ahead and just say, John Batiste for the spoiler, because he's already won this.
He did win it a few years ago. That was his big Grammy year, and now obviously...
And if everyone else is going to cancel each other out... There you go.
You're not wrong. Although I'm gunning for SZA's SOS. I actually think she kind of stands alone. Well, but then there's Janelle Monáe.
Let's all remember the time where we all talked about, oh, it's going to be Beyonce and Renaissance's year. No, it wasn't.
It was Harry Styles.
Just assume John Batiste is going to win this.
Okay, let's move to Song of the Year. This is a songwriter's award. And so the first award, I'm going to name the artists, but actually... Now that I say that, all these artists are also songwriters on these songs. So I can just say that they will be nominated along with their fellow songwriters. We have Lana Del Rey's A&W, Taylor Swift's Antihero, John Batiste's Butterfly, Dua Lipa's Dance the Night, also from Barbie, Miley Cyrus's Flowers, SZA's Kill Bill. I was going to say SOS's Kill Bill, also true. Olivia Rodrigo's Vampire, and once again, Billie Eilish's What Was I Made For from Barbie.
Again, a lot of crossover between record and song and album of the year, at least in terms of the artists and the projects.
Although Paul and I had this conversation, Keith, and I think you will likely agree with us that we would have expected Dance the Night in record of the year versus song of the year because it's all about the production on that one.
My assumption is that it was probably real close to
Have been number nine.
Yeah, must have been number nine
on record. We love that song, by the way, but also like What Was I Made For was kind of made for the song of the year category, whereas Dance the Night feels way more like a production, a hit of the year versus a song of the year. So we'll see how that all shakes out. I'm gonna have Keith bring us home for the best new artist category.
So this category recognizes an artist whose eligibility year release or releases achieved a breakthrough into the public consciousness and notably impacted the musical landscape.
That sounds subjective as all hell. Go ahead.
I'm going to point out that Zach Bryan is yet to be nominated for Best New Artist.
Yeah.
All right. So also, we're not trying to like sort of poo-poo all this. We know it's very
difficult.
No,
we love the Grammys, you guys. That's why we're talking about it.
All right. So here's the nominees. Gracie Abrams, Fred Again, Ice Spice, Jelly Roll, Coco Jones, Noah Kahan, Victoria Monet, and The War and Treaty. So pretty impressive roundup of new artists this year.
Yeah, we have a great list on Billboard.com that says just how new are the best new artist nominees. Because, for instance, Jelly Roll. Let's talk about Jelly Roll. He is about to turn 39. He's 38 years old. And before he was a country artist, he made hip-hop albums. And so he actually has
under
been
a different
around.
Name?
No, same name.
Oh.
He's been around, but in a different sphere. And so he's one that definitely, has the feeling of the Grammys like, okay, this person has been making music for like a decade. Why are you just catching up right now? But he clearly had his mainstream breakthrough in this year. The way he impacted country this year, he entered the public consciousness, as they say, in a big way in 2023.
Right.
So this makes sense.
Right. To most people, he is a new artist.
Yes. And then, a lot of younger people grew up with Coco Jones. She's been in Disney Channel things since she was a kid. She was an actress and singer. But, this is when, she made her, Billboard chart impact this year for the first time and with ICU. There's a lot of examples of this. Being a shaky ground to stand on, but it's pretty clear that all these people had their big year this year.
It's funny. There was remember the time when Whitney Houston was denied a Best New Artist nomination in 85, the same year as her debut album, because she had been on a song by another artist the previous year.
Yes. There's a lot of examples of this throughout the years. So they've
Clive
definitely...
friend of the pod, Clive yes. Davis, I believe, wrote a letter to the editor at Billboard sort of decrying like how silly that
oh,
was.
Oh, I love that. This actually brings me to an interesting story real quick.
Okay.
The Warren Treaty is a married couple, and the woman in the Warren Treaty, she starred alongside Lauryn Hill in Sister Act 2 as like a teenager.
Oh, wow.
And so there is a famous scene in that movie where they're in the church and Lauryn and another woman are singing His Eye Is on the Sparrow, and it's this heartrending duet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the woman from the Warren Treaty. So then I thought to myself, wow, that's crazy. No one would have thought watching that back in the 90s that those two women would be nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys someday. But then I realized Lauryn Hill wasn't, because she had been in the Fugees already. And so she was ineligible to be nominated for Best New Artist back when she obviously would have been in the late 90s.
I think that rule still kind of holds, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, this is why anybody who like started with a boy band or like Beyonce coming out of Destiny's Child, Justin
Can
Timberlake
you imagine?
Coming out of NSYNC.
Beyonce for Best New Artist, like we don't know who this woman is.
Yeah, she'd already been in the public consciousness. Anyway, I thought that was a fun little fact. Okay, so the 2024 Grammys are set for February 4th at Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles.
Or as some people still call it, Staples Center.
And they still do. And we'll see if that Crypto.com branding holds. Next up, we've got Dua Lipa, who is officially back with her new song, Houdini, seemingly ushering in her next era of music with the release. So let's take a quick listen. I come and I go. Tell me all the ways you need me. I'm not here for long. Catch me or I go. All right, Keith, you know that Dua is a Pop Shop favorite. We were very excited about this new era. How are we feeling after listening to this new song?
As a completely independent person, not speaking as a charts representative.
Not on behalf of Billboard.
It's a banger.
It is indeed.
It is like 10 seconds in.
I was going to say, you know the little teaser she was doing like a week ahead of time?
Yeah.
With that little bit of the production, I was like, oh God, this is going to be so good. And it is.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to set my sights, like my expectations too high, because what, you know, what? And immediately, like just like 10 seconds in, you're like, oh, I'm sold. And then I'm like, oh, it just keeps getting better. Oh, this is great. And it's just the right length. It's not too long. It's not too short. It's just...
And I'm of course, we've got the disco, we got the dance floor still, but it doesn't sound like Future Nostalgia. It's different, even though it's not abandoning that vibe.
No, the kind of the rubbery bass line, the beep, 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 the sort of the squishy, squiggly, Daft Punky electronic bit.
It's more modern.
It's more modern, but it's also, I think, a direct reference to Future Nostalgia, and specifically Don't Start Now, where there's a similar rubbery beat, and I think it's very smart of her to ease people into the new era with a taste of the last era, but also pushing it forward.
Yeah, because, you know, Future Nostalgia was new for her, honestly. Like, if you listen to her first album, like, obviously New Rules was, you know, dancey, but not to the extent of Future Nostalgia. So I like that she kept, like, a piece of Future Nostalgia, but also sounds completely new.
Yeah.
So I'm real into it. Keith, we get to go to a thing tonight. We can say that, right?
I mean...
Because this is going to go up tonight, right? This is fine.
Yeah,
is it fine?
If you're listening to this, we might be at some sort of event with Dua Lipa.
We might already be with Dua right now.
I don't think we are actually going to be with her in any capacity, let's be honest. She'll be somewhere
on
the premises.
We'll be sharing air with Dua Lipa. but yeah, we were super excited for this new Dua, so happy to have you back on our airwaves, Dua.
A mention of the video as well. It's a full-on sort of a... dance party. It's all very focused on dance movement, and some sleight of hand, visual effects, multiple duas, a quick edit, a quick flash of light. Was she there? Was she not? You know,
forget the red hair too.
The red hair.
Marking the brand new era with red hair.
I love the fact that the video itself is all about, you know, quickness. You got to move quick. You know, maybe she won't be there. The night's going to end. You know, you got to move quickly. Take your opportunity. And also it references the fact that it's also the title of the song is Houdini, spelled like the Houdini of the illusionist Houdini. So it all, and like, because there's moments in the video where like there's an illusion, sometimes she appears, sometimes she disappears. I'm like, it's all kind of like interwoven amongst itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yay. Yay, Dua.
Yay, Dua.
So finally, the Billboard Music Awards are this weekend on Sunday, November 19th. Taylor Swift leads all finalists with 20 nods. She's already the top female Billboard Music Awards winner of all time with 29 wins. I said female, right? With 29 wins. But she has a chance to surpass Drake as the biggest winner overall if she can leave the night with at least 6 prizes. Now, of course, that's assuming that Drake doesn't win any new hardware on Sunday either, as he's a finalist for 14 more this year, too. So looking beyond Taylor Swift, we have Morgan Wallen and SZA, who have 17 entries each, followed by The Weeknd with 16, Drake and Zach Bryan with 14, Luke Combs with 10, 21 Savage, Metro Boomin, and Miley Cyrus with 9, Beyonce and Rema with 7, Bad Bunny and Peso Pluma with 6, and Ariana Grande, David Guetta, Esteban Armado, Karol G, New Jeans, and Selena Gomez with 5 apiece. Now, a lot of those names I just mentioned are also our performers for the night. So we have, there's still some announcements on the way, by the way. So this is what we know so far.
As of Tuesday.
As of Tuesday, we know that Morgan Wallen, Stray Kids, Karol G, New Jeans, Peso Pluma, and Bebe Rexha and David Guetta will all perform on Sunday's show.
That's a pretty cool lineup.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we still got more to come.
Oh.
You can watch the show at bbmas.watch or tune into Billboard Music Awards social channels. And there's actually going to be a full schedule for Sunday that will be released ahead of the show. So if you're looking to tune in for a specific performance, specific moment, you can consult that schedule to see when you need to tune in. It's a new, fresh award show concept. Honestly, we don't even know what to expect. So, like, we'll all be watching on Sunday to see.
Okay, what time on Sunday?
I don't know yet. The schedule will be out, I think, Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
So wait till the end of the week to find out this. And the schedule, like I said, it will actually have, like, I believe, performer slots.
Oh.
That you can tune in.
This might be a day-long thing?
It's going to be not unlike, I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, but you know when, like, Global Citizen did, like, their at-home festival kind of thing, and it was, like, Billie Eilish is at noon, and Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes are at 2:30. It's like, if you are interested in just tuning in for one specific performer, you have that option. If you'd like to see it all roll out, you can tune in over a period of time on Sunday.
Interesting.
Time TBD. Actually, it's to be announced, not to be determined. Someone knows.
Yes. What an interest. This is a whole new way to present an award show.
Yes. And so what we do know is Sunday. Sunday is the day to tune in.
All right. Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Well, this week, we've talked about Dua Lipa's Houdini, which, of course, references the last name of Harry Houdini, the famed escape artist and illusionist who died in 1926. But, Katie, are you familiar with the hip-hop group named Houdini?
Yes.
Spelled W-H-O-D-I-N-I.
Yes.
The act charted a dozen hits on Billboard's now-named Hot R&B Hip-Hop Songs chart, starting with Magic Wand in 1982, and last charted in 1996 with Keep Running Back. In that span of time, the act notched top 40 charting hits such as Funky Beat, One Love, Freaks Come Out at Night, and the double-sided hit Friends, 5 Minutes of Funk.
Friends.
How many of us have them? Friends.
Ones we can depend on.
Friends. Before we go any further, be friends. Also, Freaks Come Out at Night is like Stone
the
Cold Jam.
The minute you said the title, I wanted to start singing.
The Freaks Come Out at Night. Freaks Come Out. The Freaks Come Out at Night. The Freaks Come Out. The Freaks Come Out. All right, so the latter, Friends, 5 Minutes of Funk, marked the group's highest charting hit on the Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart, reaching number 4 in December of 1984. It also became their only chart hit on the all-genre Billboard Hot 100, peaking at number 87 the next month. So there's your little chart stat of the week, a little who's who of Houdinis,
yes,
on the Billboard charts.
Freaks come out at night.
All right, we reached the end of our big show. Any parting words?
Feels like a real, like, magic theme. It feels like we should go out in some sort of, like, Magic Man or Abracadabra by Steve Miller Band.
Or Magic by the Cars.
Or Rude by Magic.
Friend of the podcast. Magic? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. I really love
Magic
Heart.
Magic Stick by 50 Cent.
I'm going Heart, Magic Man. Classic.
We'll go with that, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.